some, I don't know, quirk in the bulletin for me today. So there's bulletins that you may have. You might have checked to find some are August 15th of 2021. Others are August 19th of 2018. Those will not be as helpful today. I'm not sure what happened. We'll blame your pop. But then, we'll get some more bulletins made. So just kind of try to follow along. There's one hymnal on each pew if you need to share it a little bit. So you want to use the August 15th bulletin, if at all possible. We are using Bible Series 4 out of the Luke the Service book. I don't know if I worked out the right things or not. So it might be 794, 696, 621. That's not it. So no, we're not over here. So we're good. Yeah. Anyway, if you're at home, you just have to look at the bulletin. Alright, so we'll follow our service that some of you received on the way in. And we'll begin on page 3, confession and absolution, the sharing of peace and processional gift. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us kneel and be seated in the judgment. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve the present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, whose mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and share the peace of the Lord with one another.
Thank you.
that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, for he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
Singing of the Alleluia book.
Thank you.
John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the Father's being in God. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogues he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
This time, many people can be seated. We invite the youngsters of the congregation and sisters to come forward from the children.
School then, I used to write letters to my girlfriend. I used to write letters all the time. towards the church at Ephesus, because this is whose word? Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write his letter to the churches, right? All his letters. And you might have heard me say, he wrote those letters to the Hamiltonians, too. And people in all the world, like if you're from the United States, what are we, the United Statesians? The Americans, he wrote to the Americans, the Ephesians, the Russians, all the world. This is God's word for all of us. And it's things that he cares about. He wants people to know. So what did he tell us? He said, look careful, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of your time. He says, stand with the will, understand what the Lord, the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Spirit. Just like Paul was filled with the Spirit when he wrote to these churches. Right? It's hard to try to be good all the time, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes even when we're around people we care about, it's hard to know. But it's a great place to be here at church and be refreshed and receive forgiveness and receive God's graces and his gifts. And we can go to God in prayer at any time. And Jesus asked his disciples, he said, it's hard, people aren't following me. Not everybody does. Are you guys going to leave too? No. Peter said the same thing. We can say, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus is the word of eternal life. And we always have that. And that's what we stay strong in, right? Say a prayer with me. Dear Father, thank you for your letters.
Thank you for your letters.
To us and all the world. Help us stay strong in your Son Jesus for eternal life. Amen. Alright, I want you guys to write a letter this week. Maybe you have to get help from mom and dad or grandma. I want you to write a letter and tell somebody you love how much you care about them and how much they need you, okay? Alright, have a great week.
We continue with the sermon hymn, hymn number 696, O God, my faithful God, on page 8.
Thank you. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Two words have gained tremendous power lately. I'm offended. If you're having a discussion or debate with someone and they say, I'm offended, you can feel a great deal of pressure to back off. Oh no, I don't want to offend you. There's great pressure to be nice. Back off your arguments, change what you're saying in order to not hurt the other person's feelings. Because when someone says, I'm offended, what they often mean is that you disagree with me and I don't like that and my feelings are hurt. Now, sometimes when people are offended, it might be because you're truly being a jerk. That would never happen to me. But I fear too often these days people are offended because you're speaking the truth and they don't like the truth and they want you to be quiet. In John 6, people are offended by Jesus. They're offended because they think that they know him. They're offended by his teachings. And they're offended because Jesus is demanding a complete connection of their lives with his. They're offended. But Jesus never backs off from his teachings, because as Pastor Jeffrey Hemmer writes in his book, Man Up, Jesus is not nice, but he is good. The Jews grumble because Jesus says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. But they know Jesus. They know his parents. They know where he grew up. How can Jesus now claim he came down from heaven? They're offended by Jesus' audacity, and they grumble. There's a danger here for you as well. You are tempted to be offended by Jesus when he is not who you want him to be. It's easy to love baby Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem, baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, someone you can kind of get your arms around and you can control him. Jesus as a baby is attractive because he's not making any demands of you. Jesus, the good shepherd, is a popular image. Jesus caring for you, picking you up when you've fallen down, comforting you when things go badly. Easter Jesus is popular. The resurrected Jesus is a great comfort. Easter Jesus conquers death. Easter Jesus is a joyous, triumphant Jesus. It is interesting that the two most popular worship services each year are Christmas Eve and Easter. And that's good. And we should indeed celebrate Jesus' birth and his resurrection. We should be comforted by Jesus as the good shepherd. But there's more to Jesus. There is preaching Jesus, who calls you to repent and believe the gospel. There's Sermon on the Mount Jesus, who teaches you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. There's Maundy Thursday and Good Friday Jesus, being betrayed and arrested and beaten and mocked and whipped and crowned with thorns and cruelly nailed to a cross to slowly die for your sins. Maundy Thursday and Good Friday Jesus is offensive because he is suffering and dying because of your sins. And this is offensive because it means that you are a sinner. Who does this Jesus think he is to die for your sins? Who is he to call you to repent of your sin? In our gospel reading today, the people are offended by Jesus because they do not understand him. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Eat Jesus' flesh. That just doesn't make sense in our regular human way of thinking. And you want to think that if you can't understand something on its face value, it must not be true. It's really easy to fall into this way of thinking. There are many things that God teaches that do not make logical sense, and you're tempted to eliminate anything that you cannot understand. How could God create the world in 7 days? That doesn't make sense. It must not be true. How could God cause a global flood, part the Red Sea, take Elijah up to heaven in a flaming chariot? How could Jesus turn water into wine, heal the sick, raise the dead? It doesn't make sense. It must not be true. How can the water and the word of holy baptism save you? How can Jesus give you his body and blood in with and under the bread and wine of Holy Communion? It's far too easy to forget that God is God and you are not. It's too easy to forget the words of the prophet Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Now here the word disciple means just kind of any follower of Jesus. It's not talking about one of the 12. But Jesus here is teaching the people in a deep, powerful way. He is speaking with profound images. The Lord's Supper has not yet been established, but that's coming. And we can see foreshadowing here of the eating and drinking of the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Supper. But what does it mean for the followers of Jesus on that day? Martin Luther writes about this text. He says, to eat is synonymous here with to believe. To eat the bread of life is to believe that Jesus is God in flesh, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Feeding on Jesus' flesh and blood is to believe he's your Savior from sin and gives you eternal life. It wouldn't seem that this could be offensive, but it is. The offensive part of believing in Jesus is the totality of belief. You cannot believe in Jesus just a little. You cannot believe in Jesus just on Sunday morning. You can't believe in Jesus when it's convenient and keep him tucked away on a shelf the rest of the time. To believe in Jesus is to be fully reliant on Jesus. To believe in Jesus is to lose yourself in him, to lose your autonomy. Believing in Jesus means that you are no longer in charge of you. You no longer get to do what you want to do, but rather you get to do what you want to do as a believer in Jesus. This is offensive to your old sinful self who still wants to be in charge. Your old sinful self wants to call the shots. Your old sinful self is offended that Jesus wants all of you. Jesus is offensive. He wants you. He wants all of you. You do not get to compartmentalize parts of your life, your money, your sexual matters, your anger, your selfishness, and keep that part away from Jesus' authority. Jesus wants all of you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus died for your ugliest sin that you don't want anyone, even him, to know about. But he does know about your deepest, darkest, secret sin, and he forgives that sin with his own blood shed for you. Repent and believe the good news. The good news is that Jesus redeems you completely and calls you to live as a redeemed child of God, a follower of Jesus. The good news is that Jesus redeems you 100%. And yet people find this offensive because they so desperately want to have a part in saving themselves. Their pride leads them to believe that they must do something, anything to help save themselves. But there is nothing to do. Jesus has done it all. Jesus is offensive because he is not nice. But he is good. He tells you the truth that you are a sinner who needs a Savior. Jesus is the Savior come for you. Jesus fully gives himself on the cross to save you completely. Jesus rises from the dead to give you eternal life. He will return to fully raise your body from the dead. He is not content to save you just a little. He saves you completely. Jesus is offensive because he really is God in flesh, and he's not the Jesus of your imagination. Jesus is offensive because he teaches with authority, and his teachings contradict your human understandings. He's offensive because he loves you completely, and he redeems you completely, and he calls you to fully follow him in all that you do. Jesus is offensive because he is God, and you are not. Rejoice that Jesus is offensive. Give thanks that Jesus is not nice, but he is good. Amen. And may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the Creed.
For the Holy Spirit that he would change our old nature into God's new creation in Christ,
that we would be able to cling to the word and sacraments, that we may put aside the cravings of our sinful flesh and be clothed with his likeness in true righteousness and holiness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For God's people, that he would protect us from the impurities of this world, that he would save us from violence outside ourselves, and from hardness of heart within. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of our nation, that by our Father's righteous governance they may be preserved and guided to execute justice in our land, and for all hardened hearts, that by the gospel of the Holy Spirit would work faith, that true peace may be established. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, especially Becky, Jeff, David, Alice, John, Sean, and Denny, that in accordance with his will they would give thanks to God, and for the depressed, the lonely, and those who mourn the death of loved ones, especially in Annie's family, that God would strengthen their faith and assure them of his presence in all circumstances. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For gratitude, and to turn away all grumbling, that our Lord, who continually feeds us in both body and soul, would bless us not with what we want, but with what we need. Especially the very body and blood of our Savior, the true manna from heaven, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We entrust these petitions to the tender care of our Heavenly Father, asking that he would hear us, teach us his word, and feed us with the bread of life, even Jesus Christ our Lord. It's time the congregation may be seated, and we invite forward the faculty and staff of Emmanuel Lutheran School for the dedication. This is a special week. We are opening school on Wednesday. Dear members of the Emmanuel Lutheran Church, these people have been properly called or appointed to serve as teachers and support staff at the Christian School of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Hamilton, Ohio. This ministry has been established to strengthen and support our Office of the Public Ministry and its work. Teachers and staff, you accept the Holy Scriptures to be the only rule and norm of all doctrine and life in the Church.
I do.
You solemnly promise faithfully to serve and teach in accordance with the Word of God, the three ecumenical creeds, and the confession of the Lutheran Church, as explained in Luther's Small Catechism.
I do.
Will you, trusting in God's care, seek to grow in love for those you serve, strive for excellence in your skills, and adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ for the God of life?
I will with the help of God.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the confession and solemn promises of these people appointed to serve in the Christian Day School of our church. I ask you now in the presence of God, will you receive them, show them fitting love and honor, and support them by your gifts and fervent prayer?
We will.
The Almighty, most merciful God, strengthen and assist you all. Are you ready and willing to assume the work of this ministry?
Amen.
I dedicate you as teachers and staff of Emmanuel Lutheran School in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At this point, I'll ask for your faculty to face the congregation. I'll introduce you and try to get their proper roles of everybody in. So on this end, we have Jeanette Judge, who is our physical education teacher on Tuesday, Thursday. Beth Fleming, who is our admissions counselor, and they're going to help me keep the school as full as possible. We have Laura Francisco, our first grade teacher. Yeah, first grade? Okay. We have Ann Bowler, who is our seventh grade homeroom teacher and teaches social studies and science in the middle school grades. Ben Gove is our third grade homeroom teacher, and what's your specialty in the groups of this? Science and language arts for third and fourth grade. Fifth grade. And Taylor Reed, who is our fourth grade homeroom teacher and is doing English language arts and third grade social studies. We have Dawn Farmer, who she is our kindergarten aide and works at our childcare program and is all around filling in wherever needed. And Cameron Farmer, who is our fifth grade homeroom teacher, and he does math and social studies for the kind of the middle grades there. This year, we have a new teacher, Irene Kerner, who is a recent graduate of Concordia College, Bronxville, New York, and she is going to be our second grade teacher. So we have then Jan Kern, Irene's older brother, who is continuing on as our sixth grade homeroom teacher and teaching middle school math and religion. We have Amy Barker, who's our preschool teacher. She has 66 preschool students this year, so keep Amy in your prayers. And so she's running the preschool program. Pam Stump, our music director here at church, also a music teacher for Emmanuel School. Lisa Lucky, who is our child care director, also our librarian and our computer instructor. And so lots of different roles that she fills in. And we have Fran Vergara, who is our kindergarten teacher this year, and a graduate of Emmanuel way back when. And off in the corner, we keep the better looking ones in the middle, is Lucas Nickel, our principal. Our principal is kind of trying to keep it all together as we move forward as a school. So we thank you for your service to Emmanuel Lutheran School. Thank you.
Praise you and say,
"Holy, holy, holy."
mercy on us, and giving your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promise salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross, and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. your sins are forgiven. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Pardon me. Your sins are forgiven. give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor.